Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. You will not find in the Bible anything that says gay is sin. Now, I know lots of you will say, oh, yes, the Bible does have plenty of places to tell you that gay is sin. And I ask you seriously to go look for them. And please try to think about the scriptures that you're looking up, and so that you won't misguide your own self into thinking it's talking about gay people. Because when you talk about gang rapists, you're not talking about gay people. You're talking about gang rapists. It doesn't matter what the sexual orientation would be. You know, it's pretty much a fact that the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah were not all gay. And when all the men, young and old, came to know those angels, which generally, it's unarguably, they were going to have some sort of sex with them. Lot says to don't do so wickedly, and that word wickedly means you're going to really do a lot of harm to these people. We do also know that that refers to a verse later on where there was a group of men that wanted to know this one person's visitor. Instead, he gave them his daughter, and they pretty much raped her to practically death. She died on his doorsteps, and then he cut her into pieces and sent her all over the land of Israel to say, look how terribly wicked is happening in our land. Well, this is an example of a very terrible rape situation with the intent to kill the victim, or you don't care about how their health is after you're finished. And in Sodom, where this event took place, if this was going to be a sex act, the angels were not consenting adults, for one thing. It wasn't going to be just a wonderful, happy old orgy type of deal. It was going to be that every single boy, every single grandpa, and every single man in two cities were going to come and rape the two angels. Now, you cannot decide an orientation by an act of rape, because both orientations, or any orientation, or any kind of sex between any kind of anything, when you have a whole bunch of them forcing themselves on a victim, and if the victim dies because of the traumatic situation of this invasive rape, you don't say, then that then condemns the orientation involved. Like, heterosexuals are not condemned because there are lots of gang rapists. There are serial gang rapists. There are serial rapists and gang rapists and on and on and on. I mean, you've got these kinds of things in the world. It does not condemn heterosexuality. So when you're reading the Bible and it is describing something that you're absolutely convinced, and there's nothing that's going to ever change your mind about, that there is at least two males involved in a sex act, then you can at least read the kind of sex going on. Because you do not condemn a heterosexual sex. You don't condemn a married couple because you can go down the block from their house or to the highway, maybe go a mile or so and over to this section of town and see hookers sitting on the corner, dressed up in their outfit, to try to get some clients to come for their acts of prostitution. You don't then say, well, then that little married couple there is sin because of that prostitute down the street. No, you don't. And you would never even think of it. It wouldn't even come into your brain to think of over there in Vietnam one time, you know, we heard that a whole squadron or the group, a company or whatever it was, went into a village and gang raped all the women in that village. Or some women, whatever that story was, some of you are old enough to know it, and some of the younger people that might be watching might have heard that story. And how terrible these people were that they went and gang raped those women over there. Well, now tell me, how come in your brain you can look at that event and then you can turn around, person, to look at your own mother and father and say it does not describe, it is not saying that your mother and father is living in sin because of their love relation, because you know of the event that took place over there. And we get lots of news, you know, we hear about rapes and prostitution and all these kinds. How come you cannot look at those events, people, and say, this is not the same event that when you look at your husband or your wife and you go to bed and have sex and everything, and you say, that this rape we're hearing in the news, or this prostitution, or these other kinds of stuff, is not the same thing that we're doing in bed, because we're married, we love each other, and there's a big difference. You say, heterosexuality is not sin because of those people over there sinning. Then how come you cannot apply your same thinking into the Bible when the Bible describes a gang rape or some kind of prostitution? How come you can't look at that and say that it doesn't matter that they're male and male? What matters is that it is a prostitution of some sort, or it is a rape. It is an abusive situation that would not be condoned in heterosexuality at all, and not accepted, but never condemns heterosexuality. How can you apply your heterosexual idea about gang rape and rapists and prostitution and other kinds of straight sin, sex sin, to the gay community? How come you can't say that I am reading a Bible situation that is talking about all of the males in two cities? All of the males. Is that, husband, is that what you're doing to your wife? You go outside and ask your neighbors. You go to work and you ask all your men friends at work to come and help you rape your wife? No, it doesn't even enter your head. It never even a thought to you to be able to distinguish between somebody that is gang raped or went to a prostitute and the act that you're doing with your spouse. It doesn't even enter your head, not even a thought. You say, that is a sexual sin over there. Why don't you say heterosexuality is sin? Because you, the very same person who could see with your own eyes and your own understanding that there's a difference between going out on a date, having a girlfriend or a boyfriend as you're growing up, falling in love, and then getting married. How come you cannot tell the difference between that and a rape? You know, this is what you're doing. You're saying that because in a city, all of the men from another city and the city of Sodom came to rape to death an angel. And if somehow the angels were willing, then it would be a really huge orgy going on here. He can't see this. You know, this is what's so amazing to me. How many times I have heard from you. That's right. Almost every one of you that condemns gay people will tell me, hey, but, all of the men were males, and the angels were males. That means homosexuality is sex. That means it's a gay sex. How come out of all of this you can't even comprehend the thing? It's so simple. It's so simple. And yet, it is one of the most common things in the 17 years or so that I've been coming to you every week and talking to you and hearing from you. I've been on the internet for 15 years. Hundreds of thousands of people that think gay is sin have talked to me. And one of the most significant things, of the most primary thing that so many of you say, is that Sodom and Gomorrah proves gay is sin because all of those men came to have sex with the angels. And you tell it by male and a male sex. And the other verses in the Bible that you use to condemn gays is similar. like it in 1 Corinthians 6:9, where you have a male temple prostitute, or in Leviticus, where you have a straight male that has gone to bed with women, gone to bed with a male temple prostitute. If you know the Hebrew, and you know that setting in there, that is what the Hebrew word means. That man means a straight man that has gone to bed with women. And he's not. It's not a verse that is comparing a gay couple to a heterosexual couple, you know, a married couple. It's not saying that this guy and his lover, that stuff they're doing together is a sin, because if they do it together like this married couple over here does it, see, this, it's not comparing that, because a married couple, or there's not a married couple, it is saying a man lies with man as a man lies with womankind. Well, that womankind is a word that says an adulterous woman right away. And it's interesting because the Bible reflects God. If we go to other gods, we are in adulterous relationship. Adultery is a description that God uses to for us to know that when you are unfaithful to God, you are in an adulterous relationship with other gods. When you can understand something, when you're using the Bible, when the Bible describes something, then you could compare it with something else. The male-to-male sex is not saying gay relationships. It is describing in the Bible, because you only have 13 verses that you can use any kind of thing that's even remotely related to male-to-male sex. 7 of those verses uses the word sodomite. And as much as many of you would like to believe that the word sodomite means a citizen of Sodom, the Bible never ever uses the word sodomite to represent citizens of Sodom. It just simply doesn't matter. You got to use the Bible. And you can't all of a sudden go out and wish something else. You can't go out and say, well, the sodomite technically is a way you can call citizens of Sodom. You can't do that when you use Bible words. You see, Hebrew is Hebrew and Greek is Greek. Your wish or Webster or anybody else's types of putting a meaning into a Bible word is impossible. You cannot do that. You will not make the Bible speak the Bible without using the Bible word. And the Bible word sodomite, the Bible word, not your word for sodomite, not what you think it means, not when you go open Webster's dictionary, not when you go look at some of your favorite evangelists or Bible scholar or something and listen to his definition. That is not the Bible definition. Now, some of the scholars might actually use the Bible definition, but Hebrew is Hebrew, and the sodomite is a sodomite. And the historical record is a historical record. When you use the word sodomite, that is a very Bible descriptive word. And it means male temple prostitute. It's used 7 places in the Bible. 5 in the Old, 2 in the New. And the word means sodomite. And the definition of Hebrew means a male, a sacred male devotee by prostitution to licentious idolatry. Then you have a historical record that talks about these specific sodomites that the Bible was talking about. They belong to these fertility temples. There's specific rituals involved in how you become a sodomite. You don't just put out your sign and say, come to me. No, you get a feeling of calling into this fertility temple. And in many cases, you might cut off something or other and dress up like a woman, because all your customers are straight. You're a prostitute in the temple to a fertility god or goddess. And your customers believe in this fertility god, or even as much as think, well, you heard rumors you can get blessed. The god or goddess will bless you, especially if you go to male temple prostitutes. There was a female temple prostitutes too. But the male ones were a little bit more sacred in consideration. And these were, you could go and see some of these temples today. India's got some temples still standing, and every inch of the outer and inner walls is nothing but people engaged in all manner of sex acts. When you see these kinds of things, it should just ring a bell so vividly inside your head that you can't even for a second be able to think that it is talking about any kind of caring relationship between any two people, no matter what the circumstances is. It cannot compare to gay relationships. No matter how much I talk to you, though, you're still going to say that the Bible is talking about a male in some sort of sexual relationship, and you're still going to say, see, that condemns gays. There's 600 million gay people today. The Bible explicitly defines its own self. Most of the time, it'll give you the description. In Romans chapter 1, it and starts at verse 18, it describes straight adults, people that have lived and known the teachings of God, and knows about God up through into their adulthood, and then they hear about these other gods, and they turn to them and begin to study them, and they turn from God to these other gods. This is what verse 18 through 23 is talking about. God in verse 24 and 25 says, okay, I'm going to let you go on and do the things that you're turning yourself over to. And what were they turning themselves over to? These other gods. What kind of gods are these? Lots and lots and lots of historical records. The Bible throughout all its pages goes into detail about these places. We can read other writings of Paul and the historians of those days and autobiographers and biographers and historical records and archives and everything. And you can find details about the basics of the temples of those days. The fertility temples, and you get Paul himself had just visited a temple that had over 1,000 temple prostitutes. And then he went to Rome and he preached this sermon in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. So God said, okay, I'm going to give you over to these things. And what were these temples doing? You go there, okay, now I'm giving over to it now, so I'm going to actually go to the temple. And one of the things they have there is orgies. What kind of orgies? Ritual orgies. You got on do all these kind of stuff, you know, that you read about or you could see about in it. You can go to these temples and see all these acts done on the walls, the stone carvings of them and everything. But now you do these things. You go into this orgy hall, or you go individually, privately to a male temple prostitute or female temple prostitute. Doesn't matter. But you're in a fertility temple. And when you do these kind of things, you're worshiping this other god. This is where Paul just was. The statue of the unknown God, where was it? It was inside these fertility people, the whole row of it. Going down here, there's this God, that God, that God, and the unknown God. It was Paul who might take a little tour of this fertility temple. And then he spoke over here in Romans. People, you got to understand, when you're talking about condemning 600 million people, you got to kind of understand what you're talking about. Because when two males behave like a man and a woman, which is in a husband-wife marriage type of thing, and if you look over here and you see a man and a man or a woman and a woman doing basically the same similar things as this man and woman, you know, we call it marriage. You know, how they get married? They fell in love. How they do that? They began dating. Why'd they begin dating? Because all your hormones and all this kind of stuff is your dream. Find Mr. and Mrs. Right. You want to be with somebody. You want to fall in love from almost as early as you remember. You're going to be with somebody someday. This is all you know. And when you finally get to that age, you start to act on your behavior. Your natural behavior, if you're heterosexual, would be to begin dating the opposite sex. And in Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27, the verses that you like to use, the Greek word for nature and natural is saying that you're going against this natural thing that you have inside you to desire to go after the opposite sex. So you're giving up this natural desire to go after the opposite sex us to eventually marry somebody of the opposite sex. Instead of doing this natural behavior, you're going to go to these fertility temples and join in ritual orgies and go to male or female temple prostitutes and worship other gods. This is very much against your natural behavior. So many of you think the natural behavior is straight and the unnatural behavior is gay. So that means you're turning from straight to gay. But no matter what, you're already adults. How can a straight person change and go against that nature and become gay if it only happened in verse 24 and 25? There's 600 million of them. You can interview many of them. There's testimonies all around about you could read books all over the place. Generally speaking, gays are like straights. They grow up, they get to that age, the body starts saying, hey, you know, this is how I am. If you're straight, it says, hey, go after the opposite sex. If you're gay, it says, go after the same sex. But the gays had a little bit more trouble because the whole world saying go after opposite sex. So they wanted to go after opposite sex. But then, you know, they got all this thing saying, no, you're supposed to go after the same sex. So, you know, they got a little bit more pressure than you do if you're straight. So, but anyway, when you get to that age, you start going after it. Well, this happens when you're younger. Much younger, you know, than adults. So why are you assuming Romans can be talking about gays? If straight people had to turn to become gay, and you don't have any testimony of that. As long as gays have been on earth, you cannot find this kind of a situation. Now, there are always exceptions to the rules for whatever reasons, you know. You get stories of people somehow seeming to be all straight all their life, and then some go, you know, there's a few things like that, but we're not talking about the few little things because extenuating circumstances makes the whole issue complex. We're talking about the standard, everyday, average gay type of person, and when he first knew he was gay or she knew, and how that worked, and heterosexual relationship. You start young. You don't then, when you're an adult, decide to go after other gods, and then so you decide, oh, now I'm going to change and be the opposite that I was before. No, that's not how it works. You have to use the Bible. The King James Bible. Use any other Bible you're using, what I now call counterfeit Bibles. You can look up West Cotton Hort and know what I'm talking about. So when you think about gay people, I don't care if you like them or not like them. That's not the issue. I don't care if you think it's sick. That's not even the issue. If you're a true believer, Christian, and you love God's Word, then you will read God's Word and read what it describes. And orgies is not gay sex. And male temple prostitute is not gay sex. Do you hear me? Gang rape is not gay sex. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. But things are going to happen very soon now, and you need to get to know Jesus. So read the King James Version. Again, Westcott and Hort, that's the key. If you remember the name Westcott and Hort and look it up in your internet browser, search engine, you understand what I'm talking about. Now that I'm running out of time, I've got about 30 seconds left. I want to tell you there's some projects that the government is doing. Look up these things. Project Cloverleaf. These are things you can see with your eyes today, and you'll know about them when you read about Project Cloverleaf. Read about Project Bluebeam. This is going to bring a fake second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you're not ready for it, Christian, you're going to think it really is Jesus Christ, and you're going to turn from the real Jesus Christ and accept this false Jesus Christ, and you don't think you will, but I tell you, you're going to, because you don't know about it happening. I'm out of time now, so see you next week.